Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey everybody, my name is Simi and I just sip some tea on Tea with Tay. Like, share and subscribe. Okay.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Tea with Tay Pod. It's been a minute. I'm excited to be back. This is the only podcast that brings you tea as it is hot. And speaking about tea, this episode is proudly sponsored by my faves, Lipton. Now today my guest is someone who I would describe as having one of the most distinctive voices of my generation. She's a brilliant singer, songwriter, and producer. Her name is Simisola Ogunleye. It's a round of applause for my guests.
Oi, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So good to have you today on my couch.
Thank you.
I'm a huge fan.
Like, thank you.
Before you got here, I was listening to some of your songs and I'm like, yeah.
Which one's your favorite?
I have too many faves, but Teeth is one of the most iconic songs I think that you've ever done. I mean, you've done amazing songs, but Teeth is really special. It was part of my Unilag routine to listen to it every other time.
Oh,
yeah,
that's sweet.
So I'm excited to have you on my couch.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into it. So I mean, we know you on social media. We know you, I mean, from the blogs and everything. You seem very vocal, so it feels like we know you, but I don't think we really know you, right? So who would you say Simisola Ogunleye is?
I mean, I feel like people actually do know, like, the bulk of whatever it is I'm willing to put out there. You know, I'm a singer. I love to sing. I'm actually a graduate of mass communication from Covenant University.
Yeah.
I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a friend. You know, I'm very playful. I'm childish. You know, but I'm also very, I'm assertive because, you know, I don't like people to be confused about what it is that I want or stand for. I'm just, you know, I'm vibes.
Vibes. I like how you say assertive because I feel like every time I see your tweets, I feel like Simi will grieve for any, but like, like if you come to Simi with something that's not Simi, she could clear you. So I feel like you've always reiterated that in your tweets and the things that you say. And I respect that.
I mean, and I like to think that I'm consistent with that because even when I was, before I was in the limelight, I was that way. So it's not a front.
I know. I want to imagine that, you know, that has always been there from childhood and I can imagine your upbringing and what informed that. Yeah. So let's talk about you growing up and what was it like growing up for you?
I'm the last born. I mean, of my mom. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm the last born and I'm the only girl.
Right.
I've always been very, you know, outspoken even as a kid. I think I've always been very self-aware as well. And, you know, I grew up in a home where my parents separated when I was pretty young, when I was 9. But, you know, there was love at home. My mom was, you know, sweet. She let me explore however I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because imagine me saying I want to be an artist. After they've spent money, saying to go private university. You want to go and sing where?
Sing what?
You know, but like, she was supportive of me as long as I was willing to do the work, you know, right. And that really, you know, also was a great example for me to be as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I had three elder brothers, so I was a tomboy. I'm still a bit of a tomboy here and there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was a nice childhood, you know. Everything can be better, but it was good.
Yeah, but I also want to talk more about the dynamic between you and your mom, because I've seen videos of both of you. It feels like both of you are the only ones in the world. Like, you guys have a great time with each other. And I think you also have some personality that is her.
Yeah.
So please talk to me about that relationship.
My mom is one of my closest friends. You know, I love to confide in her. If I'm going through something good, bad, she's one of the first few people I tell, you know, because she's a safe space for me. And my mom is very playful as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was always a mommy's girl. And that's why when I hear daddy's girls talk, I was like, I can't relate. I was always a mommy's girl. Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, she was a great mom to me. And she's been a safe space for me. I like for her to always know that I'm here to be a safe space for her as well. You know, and I think as we grow older, you know how we have the roles of like our parents parenting us and guiding us, you know, as we go and learn and kind of expand our own mindsets and knowledge as well, we start to teach them. And she's, you know, she's very teachable and she's kind and she's just, you know, she's the best.
Love it. So looking at you now and the kind of personality that you have, I'm trying to imagine the kind of girl that you were in like secondary school and primary school.
Yeah.
Were you like, did you used to get into trouble? Because right now you get into trouble for the things that you say. So can you imagine who you were back then? Like, what was secondary school like for your primary school?
I mean, my name is Make Noisemakers.
Of course.
So if they say they should write name of Noisemakers, I'll just tell them, just write my name down.
Now.
Because if I want to talk, because, you know, I mean, everybody noticed that, you know, I was very talkative, but I was also very friendly. So people, is that like you liked me or you didn't like me? And most of that I didn't like was because I'm the kind of person that will fight for the underdog. You know, I'd like both teacher, anybody. So I was, you know, I was very jovial, you know, and but I was also like, I don't know how I would explain it. I was vocal and I would speak up for people and for myself, you know, but I also didn't, like, I don't like bullies, you know, so I just... if I have something to say, I'll just say it. Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, regardless of who it is, you know, I try to be respectful. But the moment you stop deserving my respect, I take it back.
But you know, kids like that, you know, it's either there's so much love at home or they've been taught properly. Because growing up, they would tell you, don't speak to your elders like that. Don't talk back at your elders. But there was a certain sect of children, especially when I was growing up, that, you know, we couldn't understand why the confidence was there. Because me, I could not talk to them. I couldn't even look my elders in the face. Now that I'm older, I'm much better. But it's either there's so much love at home or you just picked it up from somewhere. But considering the fact that your parents were not separated at some point, like, where did that come from? Has it always been a steamy thing, or it was from the love or the care that you had at home?
I think the majority of that came from my personality. Because, you know, there was love at home, but, you know, I'm a Yoruba girl. Yes. So no, they will still tell you that, ah, Shegbe, why are you talking to your elders like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but instead of shutting up, I'd be like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, and if I notice something, I say something, my mom says, you are rude. I said, I'm not rude. I'm just honest, you know? And that really was it. Because I'm not trying to disrespect you. I have nothing. Like, I don't have anything to gain.
Yeah.
But like, you know, as with many Nigerians, many people don't know how to handle honesty.
Why didn't you try to change? Like, you know how they will say something over time and over time and you just like, see, maybe I should calm down.
I'm stubborn. I'm a stubborn lady, you know, and I think it's one of the best things about me, but it can also be one of the worst things, you know, because like, it's helped me come to the point that I am in my life, not just as an artist, just as a human being,
right.
You know, just always knowing to always pick up for myself. But, you know, sometimes you do have to back down, you know, and learning that balance sometimes can be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about music. When did music start for you? When did you get the light bulb like moment? Yeah. Like, let's see, a musician I could be.
Yeah, that's a great question because I think I do have a moment. When I was 8 years old, we did this special number in church.
Always a special
in
number.
In children's church. So there was a song that we did. You know, I already asked that, who wants to sing the song, the verse? So I was like, oh. And I remember that everybody in my class was like, ah, see me. I was like, ah, my voice is sweet.
That means you already given them some vocals before.
Apparently. So I remember I did the song in church. That was Children's Day.
Yeah.
I did the song in church and everybody was like,
what song was it?
God has a plan for my life. You don't know it. Anyway. Know. I did the song and everybody was like, so hyped, the celebration, the applause. I was like, okay. You know, and I remember how that made me feel. Yeah. And in school as well, you know, I had, you know, people that would like, oh, Simi has a sweet voice. And so I knew that I loved to sing. And I remember that I loved writing. I used to write like books and write songs, you know, even as a kid. So I just naturally gravitated towards that because I didn't grow up with like music or anything like that. Yeah.
So like the decision to go into music was there, right? But then since you didn't have that background, like it meant that you have to do extra.
Exactly.
To get that done.
Yeah.
And also, there's also the parts of your mother and your father. Like, I sent you to school, not to go and do musical.
Exactly. Funny thing is, my mom wasn't really, I sent you to school, it was more like, I mean, it's not an industry she was familiar with. And it was not as thriving as it is right now.
Right.
So, it was up to me to prove to her that it was something worth doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I had to put that work in. And I used to say, before I had to fight for music, I never really had to fight for much. I didn't have to fight for good grades or for friends or for to eat or anything. Mm-hmm. But music was the one thing I had to fight for because I had to prove that, you know, I can do this and I want to do this. I've never like done any job. I've never done like a 9-to-5 or anything. I was like, that's why I say I'm stubborn. If I really want to do something, I put my back into it. So, yeah.
Speaking about being stubborn and going to Covenant University, just tell me about that dynamic because you went to Covenant.
Yes.
And it's not for stubborn people. It's for people who follow rules and regulation.
I was stubborn, but I was a good girl. Yes. I was not a rebel. I didn't have any inclination. I didn't want to sneak out and go anywhere.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't think outside deserved me.
See me, please.
No, I was a good girl because I chose to be that. You know, my mom was working because my mom was a single mom. So she was working. So it's like she was at home all the time. Whereas because they did not allow me to go out, that's why I didn't go. You know, but like, the thing that took most of my time was music because I was in this music group as a teenager. So I would go for a rehearsal. The worst thing I would do is come back from rehearsal late. You know, so I was stubborn, but I was a good girl. So like, there was not like a lot of voila.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of fight.
I feel like the stubbornness came from self-awareness.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but tell me about Covenant.
Oof. Can I just say no comments?
No, don't worry. You're not dragging
me. I mean, one thing I would say is that Covenant definitely was a big part of, you know, of the things that formed some of my ideals, I guess. You know, because I got in school when I was 16. But, I mean, there were definitely things I didn't agree with, you know, that I wasn't comfortable with, even as I was a good girl. But the things I'm like, you know, but like there was also a culture that I was kind of great for the students, you know, it's very familiar. Everyone was, you know, identify, oh, I'm a CU girl, I'm a CU boy. And, you know, they were very supportive of like the things that we were doing. And a lot of my career initially, because I started with gospel music.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of that, I got a lot of support from the students. They were so sweet. Like my first album, you know, a lot of people like don't even know that was when I sang Arai, for example. But you know, it was really big. And a lot of that came from Covenant University. So like I have great stories and I have not so great stories. But yeah. I wouldn't change it, I guess.
So you Arelie was in, you sang it in Covenant when you were still in school.
Yeah, I was just about to graduate.
Yeah. But were you going to do, were you planning to do gospel music? Or it was just a thing where you were going to do gospel music?
Yeah, I mean, I started out that way. And I was not on that duress.
Were you like a spiritual in school?
I didn't even used to listen to gospel music.
So why you can't sing gospel music?
I just, those are the only songs I could write. Actually, I used to try and write love songs, but I couldn't. Like, they wouldn't come to me. I used to write only gospel songs, and that's what I wrote. So, and then the moment that changed, I started to...
So, was it a thing where, you know, semi-so spirit-filled, Jesus has given us some lyrics?
No, I've always been, like, a Christian Jesus girl, you know, but, like, not, like... They didn't force me into that, you know. Right. For me, like, my relationship with God has been always been very organic. You know, it's not about doctrines or like following the script or anything. Yeah. You know, but so it was, that's, I did it because that's how my spirit felt in that time. And when I changed, same.
So you know what's interesting? I would tell people that, oh, I'm such a big Simi fan. I know her from TIFF, right?
Yeah.
But the real Lagos people, because I didn't grow here,
okay,
we always say Arelie. I'm like, which one is Arelie? It felt like that song actually got a lot of numbers and
people. Yeah, it was really big.
How big was it?
It was very big, but the song was big, but not me, I was not big.
Okay.
I mean, the story I used to tell, I used to take bike. You get.
Wow.
I used to have Okada to go for shows, to come in for shows, you know, in churches.
To perform that song.
I'll take bike with my manager at the time. You know, and at the end, they'll give you an honorarium of 5K.
Church.
Or 10K. But, you know, like, I was just happy that, you know, I wanted to do music and people are actually listening to me. And for me, that was a great thing, you know, so.
Okay. Let's talk about TIFF, my favorite song. Like, that's the song that I think really blew.
Yes, that was my first song when I got signed.
Did somebody really steal your heart, or it was just you being an artist, so?
It was just me being an artist. I mean, art has been stolen. I've gone through things in life, you know, but like that particular song was just, I love. I write a lot of sad songs, but it's not like I have a lot of sad stories, but I write a lot of sad songs. And I love love. I'm obsessed with, like, you know, the idea of falling in love and being in love. And, you know, so I think songs like that come to me pretty naturally.
So TIFF was like the official song that brought you into the industry.
Yes.
What happened after TIFF? Like, you know, when you get a big song,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean that you start getting all the bag and everything.
Yeah.
Tell me about your trajectory after that.
Yeah, after, because I released TIFF after I got signed to Extreme Music in 2014,
right,
I think. And after TIFF, you know, a lot of people were paying attention. Like, who's this girl? You know, we like the song, we like the voice. And I think it was after that we put out Jam Question.
Yeah.
Put out Jam Question, and then Files did a the feature with me on Jam Question. And then the next phase of my life was very Files-centered.
Right.
You know, so we're doing Soldier, we did Chemistry. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time I was still dropping my singles. So, no, because we did Chemistry, and I was supposed to drop my album before I did the EP with Files.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, oh, there's a momentum here. Let's follow this, and then I can drop my album the year after.
Right.
And that, you know, that really helped. That was a great decision.
Mm-hmm.
And after that phase, you know, I dropped my album, which did really amazing. And, you know, I think I follow the energy, the vibes.
And your song is very unique. I don't think you also felt any pressure to want to change the sound, or you just kept at Simi.
Yeah. I mean, I've experimented, but like the thing with me is like everything I do is very, I like to be true to myself. You know, even if I try something, even I might not really be sure, but like, if I feel like I need to try something, I will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, because I've always been a firm believer that the art belongs to the artist.
Right.
I think artists should do what they feel like, whatever is inspiring them, or like, you know, whatever's in their brains. I think that's what needs to come out. But like, for me, music, I'm doing music. I'm not really an industry girl. I don't really know anybody. I don't really... No, for real. I'm not like a glammy type of person.
Yeah.
But like, that's not my...
It's more about the music nature. For you.
Yeah. I'm honestly... 99.99% of the reason I'm doing music is because I'm obsessed with music. The process, the writing, the melody, just putting something together and like seeing how people feel about that, you know. And I like to be true to that because at the end of the day, if you're trying to pander and cater to everybody else and what they want, when you go home at night, you have to deal with that.
Do you know what I find very interesting? And also because I'm in this space, right? And sometimes, you know, we're very... I'm swayed. I would say that, you know, after a while when people start talking about you, you want to sway and want to...
Yeah.
You are so centered. Like, you're so dogged that nothing can move to me. Like, you're so grounded. Like, even when you get into hot water, right? You still come back and reply them and say, hey, Yahweh. That's literally the energy you're on.
Yeah. That's why I say, like, first of all, I'm serving myself, you know? Because no matter, let me explain something to you. No matter what your opinion you have, regardless of how popular it might seem, there's somebody out there that will disagree.
Right.
There's somebody out there that will judge it. There's someone out there that will criticize it. It's not possible for you to have an opinion that everybody agrees with. And knowing that, I don't try to please anybody. You know, like, I think that the priority is to be kind and to be good and to make as many good choices as possible and make sure you're not harming anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people that like it. People that don't, they wait for the next thing. And that's, I mean, that's just the way I am because, like, I cannot be losing sleep because somebody did not like.
So you go to bed at nights?
I'm cool. I'm good. And I know the people that don't like me or that don't like that. And that's fine because I don't like everybody. Nobody likes everybody and there's no way that everybody likes. So, like, I think a lot of people are unhappy because they're waiting to get to a point where everyone approves of them or approves of their lifestyle or approves of, you know, and then they're so sad. I know, and it's like, bruh.
Speaking of not being an industry person, right? I feel like you have your own circle. Like every time I see a video come out, it's like you and your guys day.
Yeah.
I don't see you with like other celebrities trying to chit chat and just chill. Like even the people that walked in here, like I've not seen them before. So I was like, she has it. So I feel like that circle keeps you grounded. Like they keep you together. Yeah. Is that intentional?
Oh, extremely. All my friends are friends, people that I've either known for a long time or people that I met while like just being my most organic self, you know, because I mean, as much as I say I'm not an industry person, I get along with like a lot of people. Yeah. Like if I'm out working or we're out like at events, I get along with like a lot of people. I have no problems. It's just I'm very protective of my personal space and my energy. And if I'm going to hang out, I like to hang out with people that I feel safe with. That I know that even if I'm the, like I'm my basest or my most vulnerable self, I'm not worried that they're going to take advantage of me or manipulate that or anything. And, you know, you can't really tell that about anybody until you spend as much time or you've been vulnerable with them in the first place. So that's something I'm very mindful of. And it works for me. It's always worked for me.
I'm learning that as well. No new friends like that.
But they can be new acquaintances.
Yeah, but I feel like for someone like you, you would take time, dissect them, look at them like,
yes, I choose my friends. I mean, even if they choose me, I have to choose them back.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I hope that they chose me too.
I'm sure they. I'm sure they have chosen you. Yeah. Let's talk about Simi Sola album. I feel like that album is one of the best things to ever come out of Nigeria. Every single song is a hit. Every single song has a story.
Thank you.
What inspired that entire album?
I feel like every artist, every true artist, musician, artist, their first album is their truest work. Because somebody told me somebody said something to me that was really profound. Said you spend all your life working on your first album, because like that's the first major thing people like hear from you.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how I feel about that album. Because I had, like, when I did that album, I didn't do it as a famous person. Like nobody really knew who I was.
I think
when
you
I was
were already famous.
No, when I was working on it, when it came out, yes, eventually. But when I was working on it. That's yes now. You think that people are dropping albums, they are releasing albums.
Please tell me, I don't know the industry work.
I mean, maybe some people, I'm not saying it's not possible. I mean, like, for example, like the last three songs, Jeromy, Complete Me, and Oambe. I wrote them. Those were the last three songs. It was like two months before the album came out. But like, just even the general energy of the album, you know, working on the album, getting it together, it's like, you're working. This is the first thing. This is the first body of work people are going to hear. And they're going to say, oh, okay, so this is what you're capable of, you know. And so I don't think it's just the song. I don't think it's just the songs on it or the beats. I think it's the spirit behind, you know, your first. I mean, I have a gospel album, but I mean like mainstream. Yes, I do. With the R.I. Layers, it was an album. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
How many songs? Yeah, I need to get a for that album.
Yes, there was.
Jesus.
But so that it's like, I think it's the energy. And I think a lot of people can present when you listen to like your favorite artist's first album, a lot of people feel the same way. It's like that's when you first connected with that artist, like that. And so it means more to you. So I think people always ask me, it's not like, I'm like, you can't replicate that energy. You know what I mean? Because it's more than the song. It's, oh, now I'm getting to really know you. You see, when you know somebody, when you first fall in love versus like 5 years later, 10 years later, it's different. Because in the beginning, that's where the rush comes from. Like, wow. You know what? Later, you've known them. So it's like, now you have to keep doing more to show that, okay, I'm more than my first meeting.
Speaking about love, I feel like you're such a lover girl. Like, you're such a lover girl. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about Mr. Dekunle.
Okay.
Go back to the very beginning.
Yeah.
How it happened, where it happened. I've heard some just about it, but like, I just need you to give me the full.
I mean, I don't know how much I can give you, but I'll give you some.
Wait, first, Timmy, don't sleep. On this podcast, we share tea. It's called Tea with Tay. On this podcast, we're vulnerable. The Holy Spirit is there, so we're not going to use your content for anything that would be. But I also want to know, because, you know, I've been in this space. I really respect the fact that you have kept this relationship, even all up until marriage. And it's so pure. When we see it, I'm just like, hey, God, what should I go ever do to get this kind of love? Because streets, we're everywhere. We're all over the place. How is it that, you know, even being who you are, you were able to say, you know what, I choose this person, I'm going to be with this person, and no matter what. And you guys make a fantastic, like, what would I call it? Would I say collaboration? Or like, you guys are a good pair.
Thank
right?
you.
But to be that, I feel like it requires a lot of work. There's just so much that goes into that kind of love.
Yeah. I don't even know what I should say. What should I say?
Start from the beginning and take me to this, to the present.
Actually, when I first met my husband, he was not even, I didn't know he was singing. Because me, I already said I cannot marry a singer. I didn't know he was singing. He used to do, I mean, King of Photoshop. He used to do all those
graphics and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he was also like working at different companies, you know. So I just met, you know, this nice Yoruba boy that seemed kind. I was like, okay, let's do it. And then, you know, I realized that, you know, I knew he liked music, but like, I realized that it was a serious thing for him.
So you never heard him sing until then?
No. I think he wasn't even a fan. I don't think he was a fan. yeah, he sent me a message on Facebook, but I never saw it. I still haven't replied. So I can tell my...
I left him on red.
Which I did. But I mean, there was this period I was... Because I'd always been like in a relationship until then. I was like, you know what? I'm not dating.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
This girl, I love her girl.
I'd always been in a relationship and they're usually long-term. You know, so I was like, you know what? I just want to take a period and just not date, you know? And then I was really going ham, like on... I'd be in my like music, you know, so I was going out, like going to the studios. Like, I don't want anybody to be asking me, where are you? I didn't have the energy.
To be responsible to anybody.
Yeah. You know, but I'd met him around that time and we became friends. I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm not dating, but like, I don't mind making new friends, you know? And, you know, we used to hang out. I used to hang out with his friends as well. And, you know, that was like really good. There was great chemistry and it was just really sweet. And, you know, I never used to be like I wasn't impulsive about relationships. Like, even if I see you and my world is spinning, I can't think straight, I'm not going to date you just because of that.
Really?
Yes. It has to make sense. You have to be good for me, you know? So, I sensed that he was somebody that would be good for me.
How?
And yeah.
Why?
Just, you know, by the way he would interact with me and how he was. I'm very, like I said, like, I choose the people. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a very intentional person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in like just letting things happen to you and then complaining little about, oh, you know. So like it's like I haven't made mistakes or I haven't made bad choices, but I'm just saying like I try to be as intentional as possible. And you know, the way he was with me, he was funny and he was sweet and he was kind and he was, you know, he was a hard worker. And he was, one of my favorite things about him is like, he's so passionate. He's a hustler. Me, my daddy had money, so I didn't have to hustle for much. Yeah. But like, you know, he came from a different background. I could see he was a hustler. He believed in himself and everything that he believed he like did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when he was doing music, when, you know, he started to do, I was like, you have a really nice voice. And then, you know, a helper that I am. Like, let me help you. And I was like, I think that your voice would thrive doing, you know, this kind of songs. I remember when he was doing Shady.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I was like, oh, I think that, you know, how about you decide to record and mix his stuff at the time? Yeah, because I've been doing it for myself already.
So because you're his girlfriend, you loved him.
Yes. And I believed in him.
Yes, so because it's one thing for you to actually believe in him. It's one thing for you to just be a girlfriend that, you know what, it's your music, let's just help you.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes, you know, I believed in him. And I think that I think it was mostly because of how much he believed in himself as well.
Yeah.
You know, because you might have a dream and you're not doing anything about it. Yeah. I'm not going to waste my time on that, you know. But like, he was very resilient and, you know, he has a beautiful voice, you know. And I respected that. I respected his talent. And, you know, we were dating. We both of us were together almost 1 year before we even blew. Yeah. I'd be like, at least half a year. Before we got signed, because we got signed at Simi, I think. He got signed to YBNL. Yeah. And I got signed to Extreme.
Yeah.
So we already had like a foundation and like history and like nice friendship that had nothing to do with fame or had nothing to do with like, you know, just outside people. So when, you know, our breaks came, we, you know, talked about it. And like, I'm a lover girl. I'm very PDA. Well, I used to be. Very PDA. And he's more quiet and private, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, we had like our little nice little balance, you know. But when we blew, you know, like, you know, it's probably better if we are more private with our relationship, you know. I struggled with that a little because I was like, I don't know.
Are you trying to hide me?
No. You can't hide me. Okay. If I'm hiding, it's because I choose to hide.
Right.
I'm kidding. Not really. Okay. But I was like, I don't know. If because that was not like the norm for me, but like we talked about it,
right.
And which is also one of my favorite things about him, you know, it's just great communication and I think just being on the same page and genuinely liking each other. And we're friends and we're really, really good friends, you know, like friends that actually gossip.
I imagine.
Yes. And his mind is so big and he's so teachable as well. It's like, he's just always ready to learn and be better. And, you know, he makes me a better person as well. And just, you know, coming as far as we have. We're actually married 5 years this year, this month.
So cute.
Yes. So having someone that, I think one of the hardest things sometimes for long-term relationships is continuing to be on the same page. Because people grow. Sometimes people grow out of each other. And it's not malicious, it's just life, you know? Mm. So like doing the work to be on the same page is very underrated, but it's necessary.
You know, because, you know, your love story is so amazing because, you know, one would think that, you know, when you blow, you're exposed to lots of options. You as a female artist who's popping, him as a male artist. But how did you guys maintain that relationship to the point where nothing even shook it a bit? Like, I know, even at the time when you and Fowls were making songs back to back, when we all assumed that you guys were together, relationship was still on.
Yeah.
So like, what was it about relationship that made it so strong and so formidable that like it has lasted till this level?
I think it's because we're both so mindful of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think one person can make a relationship work.
Right.
It's not possible. If one person is doing all the work, something is failing. Someone is failing. But like, because we're so intentional and mindful about each other, even in the time of Fowls, there's nothing that I did that I didn't ask him first. I was like, are you comfortable with
this? Was he comfortable?
Yeah. If anything he wasn't comfortable with, I didn't do. Like, there were things I actually asked, oh, how about this? And I was like, I don't know. And I wouldn't do it, you know. because like it was not about anybody else, it was about him, right. You know, and vice versa. So knowing that, you know, he's mindful of me and that I'm him knowing that I'm mindful of him, you feel safe in that space, yeah. You know. So I think that definitely is helpful.
Oh God, where will I find this kind of love? So,
I don't know why people say that though, because I think it's that. I think honestly, people are more intentional about the people like.
Your sister, yeah, I'm intentional, but nothing for me.
Are you sure you're intentional?
I am. I pray about it every day. Like,
no, I'm not talking about prayer.
I'm trying to see me now. Because also, there's a part of me that keeps thinking that imagine Simi and Adekunle never met before. If you guys probably met when you guys had blown.
Yeah.
Do you think the dynamic would have still been the same?
Maybe not exactly the same. But like, if he's the same man that he is now,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, even if I met him after this thing, if he's the same man,
mm-hmm.
I think that it would be close.
Yeah, because when you blow, it's different. So
yeah, that's why I said it won't be the exact same. Things would definitely be different. Maybe like when you meet in the beginning, you probably have a little, you question a few more things. Are you sure that it's not because of, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think that someone's true character definitely will always pop out. Because whether or not you meet before you blew, there are people that they meet before they blew. By the time they blew, they become like the worst versions of themselves and the relationship still doesn't work. So I don't think it's about like, oh, because you met. Because that's undermining the work that you actually put in, making your relationship work every day.
Thank you for saying that worst version of yourself, because this blowing will expose you to who you really are.
Yeah.
And you realize that, you know, you want to explore more, you want to have more options. Was there never a conversation? Like, you know, when, I'm not saying that happened, I'm just saying that, was there ever a time where you guys had more options than you ever thought of? Like,
I mean, even poor man has options.
Yeah.
You don't think poor people cheat?
They do.
Everybody has options. I mean, I think obviously it's more glaring when you're in the limelight. Maybe you have more money and whatever. But like, that's why I see your true character will always shoot.
Oh.
So like, the fact that you have more options or you have more money or you have more wealth doesn't mean that suddenly your brain has not advocated. So if your brain has advocated, you're the one that's your choice that you are making. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like, I don't even want you to get me wrong. Like, I don't think anyone is infallible. Anybody is above, you know, making wrong turns. It's not like we've not, like, when people say, oh, love. It's not like we've not had, like, hard days.
Yeah.
Or we've not had, like, issues or whatever. But, like, I think, that's why I say, when I know that you're mindful of me, I personally will not choose to be with someone that I know is not, does not care if I'm there or not. You know what I mean? Like, and it's the same energy that I'm putting in there. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not worried about losing me, then why are you in that environment? Like, if you're not picking yourself, if you don't prioritize yourself or give yourself value, no one is going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing. If I have a great man, I don't want to let him go. I don't want to lose him as well. And so you continually do the work to make sure that this person that you say you deserve or that deserves you stays in your space or stays in your life. So it's constant. Every day it's choosing the person. And what are you doing to choose the person? Making sure, okay, I want to continually be the kind of person that deserves someone like this. And it goes the same way. So it's work. It's continuous work. That's why 9 to 5, you keep going to work. It's not as if you go there the first day, do the work and go home and say, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You keep going there because you have to keep manufacturing and doing and doing and doing and doing. So it's not one day. It's not saying I love you today and tomorrow being a bitch. Sorry. I don't know if I can say that.
We do that here. We can curse. Yeah.
And then tomorrow being a bitch or today being like kind and tomorrow being mean.
Yeah.
It's continually being, you know, working hard to being someone that deserves to be with a good person. And in the same vein, like on the days that you might feel, because you will feel sometimes at being that person, on those days, the person loving you enough to know that, okay, this is not malicious, this is because you don't love me. It's because, oh, this is a hard day for you. And you communicate, oh, I'm sorry, this is not how I meant to be. I'm going to try to be better. And then actually trying to be better. Sorry, I'm a talker.
I love it. I feel like you just opened up now. Before, you give me pow, pow, pow. But now we're in it and I love it. Let's talk about marriage, because it's one thing to be dating, I mean, lovebirds and just be everywhere. But marriage is now I am a wife.
Yes.
What's the difference between being a wife and the girlfriend?
For me, not a lot, actually. I think my life changed more as a mom than as a wife.
Yeah.
Because after I got married, the only thing I really changed was my address. You know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you guys didn't move in before then?
No.
Eh?
No, we didn't.
Yeah,
I mean, I used to stay in his house now. Once.
But you had your own house.
I had my house.
So as the days are not feeling this.
But I changed it to company. But yeah, no. But I had my house. No, just I would go over to his, you know, we would spend time together. Actually, I'm of the opinion that, you know, maybe I shouldn't share this opinion. Because I feel like you know, certain like religious people might not agree with me.
So please share this stupidity.
Okay. I personally think that people that want to get married should spend time, live together for a little bit before they do that. That's what I think.
Why?
I mean, not my first. Because I don't think you really know someone that you're going to marry.
Until you cohabit.
Until you cohabit. Yes. Because the way someone is when they're outside and their best behavior is different from how they are at night when they're cranky and they haven't eaten. Or when they wake up in the morning, or when they're snoring. I feel like when you live with someone, like you know all the sides to them. Yeah. And that's when you really know if you can do forever with them. I mean, people have done it, obviously. Right. Millions of people have done it without living together. Mm-hmm. I just personally think that it's a good idea to try. It doesn't have to be for long, safe. Just a little bit, I think. But it's not my fault, so if you don't want to do it, that is okay.
Fair enough. Let's talk about being a mother. Motherhood.
Yeah.
Every single mother that I know, my friends who are mothers, they say motherhood changes you. Like, you see a part of yourself that you didn't think was there before.
Yeah.
The love is different. Like, it's one thing to be loved with a man, but to be in love with somebody that you gave birth to, like,
yeah,
it's different. Talk to me about being a mother.
I think it's the most important thing I've ever done.
Really?
Yes. I think it's the most important thing that I still do. It does change you. I remember thinking that the woman I was the day that I gave birth was even from the woman I was the day before that day. Yes, I think it just transforms you. I can only speak to my experience because I guess like every woman, as you might have heard, you know, has a different experience, like with childbirth, with even just the process of being a mom. Some people have experienced like postpartum depression, different things. But as to my experience, I think it just turned me inside out. You know, like I've never felt that vulnerable. You know, that's the thing that makes me feel the most vulnerable. She's the one that has the highest capability of breaking my heart. And also like building it. And I think that having children should not be taken lightly. You know, because these are real people. They're not vibes. Kids are not vibes. Children are not, they're not plaything. That's another reason why I don't like the concept of having kids so that your child can have someone to play with. Children are not playthings. Children are not. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good, it's not a reason. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's enough.
It's deeper than
reason,
that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're human beings that you're going to let out into the world. They're going to impact other people's lives. And, you know, I take that role very, very seriously. And, every day, some days are harder than others and some days are easier. And, you know, I'm just glad to have been given that gift.
You know, every time I see Deja, that's her name, right?
Yes.
I'm like, I think Simi just spat herself out. Like, I'm going to give birth to myself. Like, it's a reincarnation of Simi. I feel like she has a lot of your personality.
Oh, she has.
You see yourself when you see her.
Oh, I see. She looks a lot like me. I mean, kids sometimes have this face, they change. Yeah. So she has periods where she looks like her dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for the most part, she looks like me. She acts like me. She's so feisty. She's so sweet. She's always like, I love you, mommy. I love you, mommy, so much. And she's very assertive as well.
Mm-hmm.
No means no.
She's like, I every time I see her videos, I'm like, this speaking name, she don't go grief for anybody.
You probably haven't seen anything. Because I, like, usually when I post her, it's because maybe she's right next to me and she says something funny. But like, her and her, like, just living life, she's the best. She's the sweetest. She's really smart. I'm so proud of her.
So beautiful. It's so beautiful to actually hear you say this because, like, me, I want to have a child, but I don't know.
Yeah?
Me and my bad character, I don't know. If the child comes out and they like me, I'm like, hey, I don't know. Yeah, but it's so beautiful.
You think it's like the karma stuff.
Yeah. Like me and my stubborn hair. Like, imagine if they did the same thing that I did to. Well, I think I was a cool child. Right? I wasn't too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still good. I'm still good. Okay, let's talk about Dudu Care. Because Dudu Care, I mean, I know you sang Dudu Care before DJ came out.
Yes.
But in the song, it just felt like, you know, there was so much love that it was a new face for you. Mm-hmm. The song was so deep that even me, I never gave a baby before, but I was pregnant with a baby. So when you hear Dudu Care, it's like there's so much emotions in the song.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dudu Care. I mean, I know what inspired the song, but recording that song and, you know, did you even think it was going to do that well? Like,
it's been a long time somebody asked me that question.
Yeah, but I think it was a very personal. I don't think you cared about it blowing. I just think it was a personal song for you.
I mean, I'm an artist. Of course, I care about it blowing. Mm-hmm. But yes, it was personal.
Yeah.
It was about, you know, just the process of being mm-hmm. a mom. Mm-hmm. Carrying the child because I made it before I give it to her. I came out before I give it to her as well. And, you know, I felt like this was something that I wanted to give, you know, other moms a medium to express how they felt, something they can connect with, give them something personal, you know. And I remember that when I was pregnant, I wanted like a couple of mom friends just so I could pick their brain, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. this is such a new experience, you know? So I just felt like, oh, this is a feeling that many people cannot sing, for mm-hmm. example. They don't have the same platform I do, but like, mm-hmm. it'd be nice for them to have something to connect to as well.
Yeah. Amazing. Do you think that with all the work that you've done, you get enough flowers for being seen? And this is a person, this is very subjective to me. Not because I'm a fan. I just really think that you've done so much good work in this space. But do you really think that you get the flowers that you deserve?
No. I mean, but I'm not mad about it.
You're not?
No.
You should be.
Why? To what end?
I'm mad on your behalf.
I mean, I get it. Like, I understand. I mean, there are a lot of people that don't get their flowers. And there's some people that get too many flowers. More flowers than they deserve.
Mm.
But I think that that's just life. You know? Like, I'm not hung up on... I don't think it's personal.
Right.
I don't think I haven't got my flowers because people are intentionally holding my flowers from me. I think that's, you know, as in life, you get some things you don't get. Like, even though I haven't gotten, like, all the accolades I think that I deserve, I have gotten, like, you know, a lot of accolades. I get a lot of respect. There are people that, you know, love my work. I made timeless music.
Yes.
I'm happy. I'm content. You know, would I like more? Yeah. And when I get more, I would be grateful. But like, in the meantime, I'm glad. I'm not hung up on what's... And again, I think it's also because for me, my value does not come from outside. I'm not dependent on someone else's approval to feel like I'm who I am. I'm who I am because I am. You know what I mean? So I'm not here waiting for, you know, Jide and Yaba to come and tell me that Simi is the best mm-hmm. for me to believe. I already know exactly, you know, and all I can do is like continue to put the work in, you know. My wins, I'm glad for them. My losses, I count and I keep it moving.
Simi, you're so assertive. I need to start drinking the water that you drink. Because if I was half as assertive as you, half the things that worry me wouldn't worry me at all. Like, if you're just like, yeah, I'm fine.
Wow. I mean, I think it's because, like, I just feel like I don't believe in... Even if you want to throw yourself a pity party, do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and get up and keep it moving. Because the things I can't change, the things I can't do anything about, what's the use in crying about it or, like, being... Especially if you're carrying anger and bitterness about it. Mm-hmm. What's the point? The only person that's losing is you because you're there, like... Huh? And things that people you're mad at, they're not thinking about you. They're really not. They're not thinking... I really don't think that people are going out of their way to make you miserable. I mean, there are some demons, yeah? But, like, sometimes people just have other things going on or they just haven't heard you enough to know that they love you. or your time hasn't come yet. It's all in my, but it's not personal. So I'm not, I don't like to waste my energy on things that don't serve me. And I think just knowing that I just have a peace in that. That's why anyone that's like, even if I go and do like a clap back online, it's not because I'm angry. It's because I had time that day. I'm not, if I say I'm not going home, I'm not going to go and think, can you imagine what this person, no. Yeah. General people, I see like how many like sick comments or comments or bad feedback I get every day that I don't care about. But it's also in the same vein. Like, that's why I say, if you have a problem with me, tell me to my face. I'm not scared of confrontation. And if like someone does something to me that's problematic, I'll call you out. And when I say it, I'm done. I'm not carrying it around in my head that, can you imagine what Lagwaja just said to me? I don't care.
Speaking of clapbacks, my queen. See me, I star you. Because, you know, on Twitter, I'm just like, this girl, no. I can literally go off 3 days if I see a comment that, like, I'm always in my feelings. It feels like you are just like, you. I will deal with all of you today. Because when I see your tweets, I'm just like, what is this girl in fear? Like, you are really on, you are always on your shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes I would clap back, but majority of the time I actually don't.
So you're never at home thinking that, this is what was said about me.
No. That's what I said. If I see, usually if you see a clap back, I saw it and I just typed it that time and I moved on. If something actually really hurts me, I'm more likely not to see anything. If something really hurts my feelings, I'm more likely not to see anything. Yeah. I'm just going to, because like bad people thrive off like attention. Mm. Bad energy thrives off of attention. Even if you think that you're calling them off, the fact that you're saying something, that's the same way narcissists work. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's good attention or bad attention, they just want to be noticed.
Right.
And I know how to starve people of attention, especially people that like they're trying to be mean to you or. So it's like, if I clap back, it's because that day, so this would be funny to say, but like, if something really hurts me, I'm not going to indulge or say anything about it. I'm just going to be like, yeah, whatever.
And your sense of humor, I don't know. I'm funny. But I feel like when you sit to your friends, half the time you guys are catching cruise.
Yeah.
Because some of the tweets I make it on Twitter, I'm just like, what was she thinking when this thing landed here? What's a typical day like you, like chilling with your friends? Like, what's it like for you guys? I saw videos of you and your friends hanging out, jumping around in the pool. Yes. These guys have a great life.
Me, I mean, water baby. I like going to the beach. Water baby. I love going to the beach. I love swimming. Mm-hmm. I love going to the pool. And, you know, when we want to wind down and have a good time, it's either we're like at the beach or... we'll go to dinner somewhere. And we know, because like I said, I'm always around people that like I feel safe around. Mm-hmm. So we play games. We might get a little tipsy. We'll play games. We'll have fun. And all my friends know each other. That's another thing about me, because I don't have that many friends. So the moment you're actually... So
it's hard to break into that friendship circle, ladies.
Yes.
What shall I do to get into that circle?
I don't know if you can.
Do you have to audition?
I don't know if you can. Applications are closed for the year.
Oh, wow. No new friends. Yeah.
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 No, you never finish now.
Okay. But yeah, that's we just like to vibe and just, you know, we hang out. We do a lot of game nights. Sometimes I just have it at the house.
Right.
Sometimes we record. Sometimes there's content. Sometimes there isn't. Mm. But if you see us together, we're having a good time.
Mm. Let's talk about music and you. I think like you're the queen of remixes and collaborations. Like once you put your voice, if the male artist had done it before, great. But once Simi adds her voice, like there's just a different touch to it. Like, how do you feel about that, being that girl? Is it so when they come to you?
Yeah.
Do you already have the sound in your head? You already figured out already? Like because it always comes out well.
Thank you, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, till this moment, I've never charged for feature.
Eh?
No, I've not.
Gee.
Maybe I'll start spending with my money.
What do you mean you don't charge for feature?
This interview.
So wait, when the song...
Like, I've never charged for a feature. Ever. So for me to do a feature, I have to really like it. I have to like the song. If I really like a song, Jan, if I really like a song, give me half a day, I'm done. You know, because it flows more. If I don't like a song, I will most likely say no. It's not personal. I'm not really fluent with this. And that's why no, does not do anything to me. To like, I can take a no. Like that's what I said. People, things are not personal. Sometimes right. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
If you tell me, just tell me no. Don't drag me along. And then I'll be chasing you. I don't like chasing people. But like, I don't find it hard to say no. But if I really like a song, even whether or not they know you or they don't know you, you know, I mean, obviously it pays if the person has, you know, some kind of platform. For the most part, even the person like is not like really, really big. Mm-hmm. If I really like a song, it's easier for me to jump on it. Like, cause like the ideas flow for me easier. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm a great writer. I know that I'm a great writer. I love writing. It's one of, I don't know if I like writing more than I like singing, but I really, really love writing, you know, and it's always so nice to sing how, what kind of sound and what kind of flow would go with, you know, someone else's verse, you know, that they already have hook, you know, that's part of the experience for me. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy doing that. And I know that I'm that girl, you know, so period.
I love it. Like what's making music like for you? Are you constantly in the studio trying to do some work? Are you constantly have a tone in your head, like I'm gonna sing this?
Yeah.
Are you constantly writing or and the talent of music itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It comes naturally to you, obviously, but
yeah.
Is there pressure on you to always constantly work on stuff, or whenever it comes to you, you just go to the studio and make what you have to make?
To be fair, there are different stages. There are different phases. Like, I have times when I go like a whole month and I don't go in the studio at all. There's no pressure to make any music. Mm-hmm. And I have times when I just feel like my brain is bursting with ideas. It's not even like I have an idea. I just know that if I sit in the studio that day, I'm going to write a great song.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel that. So I go in the studio and I let whatever happen. Whatever happens, happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have times when I'm under pressure. I have a deadline. And so I have to sit down there. Like, I remember when I wrote Jeremy. I was done with the album. Jeremy was one of the last songs I wrote on the album. And my producer sent me this piece. I was like, I'm tired of writing, you know? And then he sent me the beats. I said, well, I like the beats. The first, I wrote like 4 or 5 songs on the beats. I didn't like them. You know, I was like, but I like this beat. Something is going to come. So I left it alone and I went and I came back and I got the idea. Actually, the funny thing is, the original song was going to be, Dekunle, Dekunle, I want you to love me, Dekunle, baby. Which sounded cute, but I already had another song on the album that was, that take me back. And that had Kool-Aid so in it as well. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and then nobody knew I was dating him. I said, I cannot be writing this song on one album. I'm saying Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, I'm not Kool-Aid shit. I said, so let me find another name. So I was looking for a name that kind of like just bounced off the tongue really nice and was like, you know, and that's, so I was like, oh, this sounds really amazing now. So like I said, like that sometimes I push until I get the song I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wait for it to come naturally. So it depends on what I need. Like for my album now, my album that's coming out this year.
Oh, there's an album.
Yeah.
This is the first place I've seen it.
No. Yes.
I thought I was getting an exclusive, but yes. Okay.
Yes, verbally, yes.
Okay, you guys, you heard it here first on TVT. Oh my God.
There's an album coming. And you know, funny thing is, last year I had a different set of songs for a different kind of album. You know, I was like, that's why I said, like, I'm not scared of experimenting. Because sometimes I'm experimenting to find something, you know, but I changed the entire direction of that album. And I have a completely different album now, you know, and I had some songs that I had to go and fight to write. And I had some other songs that, like, the last song I wrote on the album, which is probably the last song, right? Seth, that's the last song. Yeah. We're not changing anything. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that came to me really easy. I wrote it, like, in less than a day. So everything, it depends on how it comes. I don't try to force any whatever I need to be is what I am.
Okay, let's talk about this album. Nice. Make I adjust. So right now, I feel like there's so much pressure on people to bring hits. Is that pressure on you right now? Especially with this album and also the sound of the time now. You know, there's a lot of bing, bing, bing we're listening to, right?
Yes.
And is there going to be a piano inside? What kind of sound should we be expecting? When you sit in the studio, are you pressured to like make a hit, or it's according to how you feel that you drop the song?
I mean, if I'm being honest, I think every correct artist, there's definitely some pressure to make a hit.
You,
I mean,
you don't look like you've ever been pressured.
No,
about
no.
Anything.
When I say pressure, like you want to make a hit. It's not like you are pressured I'm scared, but like you want to make a hit. So you, if even if the pressure is from yourself, there's pressure to make kind of song that will, you know, be hit. That be a hit.
Do you think that the times that we're in has influenced your sound and this album?
I think the times we're in influenced the album that I made before that I scrapped.
You scrapped it?
Oh yeah, I scrapped it. That one, I told you, I made an album last year that I said, no, this is nowhere I want to go.
A whole body of work scrapped?
Yes.
Scared you get my...
And sometimes I go back to and I listen, I say, did I make a registration? I did. Wow. Yeah. This album actually is not, I don't think it's about that. I think this album actually kind of reminds me of Simi Sala. Yes, like a more
contemporary version of that.
This is contemporary. Yeah. Yes, like a more you know, and like she now knows her way around things. You know, like she's learned herself. You know, but like it has like a lot of the energy of Simi Sala, and I'm really. It's gonna be my longest album ever. I don't like long albums because I think I have really short attention span. So, but like this album is really good that I couldn't take anything out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this one.
Who are the people on this album? Give us.
I don't think I can give you that.
I will send you part of my room.
I don't think I can give that, but I can say that this has the highest, because my albums typically don't have like a lot of features. Yeah. Yes, but this has like the highest amount of features I've ever done. Mm. So yeah, you know.
Is your husband on this?
No, he's not in this one. At least I've given you something.
Yes.
He's not in this one.
I will take that. I mean, it's not like...
But who knows? I can wake up tomorrow and say I want to put him on song. So, but as of this moment, he's not on...
You know, I would describe you as a feminist. Is it safe to describe you as a feminist?
Yes. With my full chest.
Yeah.
Is that the question?
No, but yeah, and I want you to elaborate because, you know, sometimes people are on the fence about it.
Yeah.
But with the things that you say and the things that you put out, it's like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Fuck all of you.
Yes. I mean, not fuck all of you. Fuck bad people.
Fuck bad people.
For me, feminism, as a feminist, my goal is to make sure, to fight for women's rights to choose. Not under duress. Not out of fear. Not... because they think that's what they have to do, but genuinely choose whatever it is they want to do. If you want to be a stay-at-home mom, let it be your choice. If you want to be the most submissive wife in the world, let it be your choice. If you want to be a slay mama with 12 nannies, let it be your choice. If you want to be a boardroom beast, you know, let it be your choice. Because I feel like that's the only way freedom is genuinely possible. You know, and I'm committed to that agenda. You know, I'm not one to speak on other people's, like how they practice, you know, their feminism, because everybody has, I remember someone saying one time that somebody is angry. I'm like, what talking of Binu? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, because some people, like, even if I've not gone through some things, some people have, you know, I have never been physically abused. Some people have.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's my place to sit down somewhere and say, how can you react like this? You know, I think everyone's experiences and feelings are different, you know. But like for me, the thing that I'm most passionate about is people being able to make their choices. Truly, truly make those choices for themselves. I don't have to agree with your choice. I think that's sometimes where the line might be blurred. You know, even if I want to judge your choice, I'm going to do it in the privacy of my house. My friends, I'm not going to come and judge you. Probably. Because there are things that, like, the choices I make that people don't agree with as well. And that's okay. Like, why not? We don't all have to have the same lives or do the same things. You know, there's some things that somebody might do and they're like, oh, how can you? I've seen people that would, like, real and that will be mean or be very judgmental and very, and bully like women that are stay-at-home moms. Like, how can you? You know, and there's some other people that will bully women that are working. How can you not take care of your children? And that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't help anyone. No one is growing because of it, you know. And I think that the most important thing is that people are safe, And there were people that, you know, make them feel safe. And again, I think it's important that you end up with somebody. I mean, this is for partnerships, you know. You end up with somebody that's on the same page as you. You cannot say that you're someone that does not believe in... okay, maybe a woman that says she believes that she should pay 50-50 with a husband. And you're someone, like a man that thinks that a woman should stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, yes, he thinks the woman is good, but he thinks he wants to do everything financially. And you can't... Like, no matter how many ideas you have, it's better just... stay with someone that has the same ideals mm-hmm. and ideas as you. Mm-hmm. So like you have this, it's just more cohesive and you're not fighting about stupid things. Because I'm tired of seeing fights about ridiculously unnecessary things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I stand naming them, I will seriously fear. But I just feel like focus on the most important things.
Mm. That's brilliant. You know, I feel like I imagined who the kind of person that you were, but speaking to you now, I feel like you have a good head on your shoulders. Like I wonder what you take in, what kind of books you read, what kind of people you hang out with. Like, I need to be this grounded. I'm grounded, but I'm, you know, you look very solid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Is that intentional? Like, you,
yeah, I would like to.
It's like you've done a lot of work on yourself.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is definitely in it. Like, it's follicle. But because no matter how confident someone is, if you're like someone that is very confident now, you put her in the house of people that are bidding on her every day, telling her that, oh, you are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't deserve good things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bit by bit, they chip away at your person, chip away at your personhood. Just, you become less and less, you know. So I think, again, not allowing myself being a place where things and people, I don't expose myself to just everybody. So you have to be the kind of people you're around and things they say to you. And yes, do you understand what I'm saying? That's why even my daughter, as a joke, you can't be saying random things to my daughter as a joke. I'm not. And like I said, there's nobody I cannot call out. There's nobody I cannot say no to. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I think even if they feel bad, like I remember I was telling my mom something. My mom said something to me and I went to meet her later. I said, Jenna, and she said it as, it's not bad, but she said it like, I said, you know, if I said something that to someone that was not as sure of herself, she might feel bad. She might go like, she might just feel like a little bad.
Yeah.
And when she said it, she didn't think about it like that. But when I said it to her, she understood what I was saying. And I could tell that she felt bad. And then later, I said something and she said, oh, you've not forgiven me. I said, Mommy, I was never mad. I just said it to you because I just want you to be mindful. Like, if you say that next time, because I know your intention was not like that. And she says, and then she says, but I feel bad. I said, that's okay. No, but it's okay to feel bad. Like, feelings come and feelings go. I said, that's okay. And because you feel bad now, you know better. And it's the same thing with me. If you tell me something, even if in that moment I feel terrible, oh, I shouldn't have handled this like this. Now I learned. So next time I want to do something like that, I think, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't do that because I remember how it made you feel. So if somebody feeling bad because of a correction you made, it's not a bad thing.
Mm.
It's life. It's part of learning, you know? And I think that, like I said, like my daughter, like if I want to tell her no, even though she might be sad in that moment, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's sad, but she's going to learn from it. So it's the same thing. If you correct someone that says something, oh, don't say that to me. That's not comfortable. You are talking to your friend, I'm just playing. It's not funny.
Girl, let's talk about that.
It's not funny.
Yo. So first of all, let me talk about the... I feel like I don't know how the relationship between you and your mom. I know it's great, but I feel like it's also some clarity between both of you. There's also some very personal relationship between both of you for you to be able to tell your mom that. Because, you know, in this Africa and this world, to even talk about to your mama, even your mama did wrong, you was skirting around it like, let mommy not come and change it for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like your relationship with your mother is so secure and so personal that, I mean, you would go back to her and tell her stuff and she would apologize.
Yeah.
Our parents don't really apologize to us. And it just shows, and I feel like you also replicate that with Deja as well because...
Yes, at least I try to.
It's going to be very healthy.
I think that we don't give people a lot of grace. We don't give people a lot of grace because, you know, my mom tells me every day that she learns from me. And that's because I'm not afraid to teach her. Just as she herself was not afraid to teach me when she knew more than me.
Mm.
You know, there are things I know more than my mom. And there are things that she knows more than me. I think a lot of people are walking around afraid of how people are going to think about what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I go and tell them now, I'm only supporting me to put you. You know, those kind of... Sorry, I'm keep switching.
Please speak more Yoruba. I'm begging to switch me.
Like, if I go and tell somebody something, they'll say my own is too much. Mm. You know, even though you know that what you have to say is good for them. You know what I mean? And the problem with that is that nobody's learning and nobody's mm-hmm. growing, you know? Like, most of the things, like, and music, the people that help me the most are people that criticize me. I mean, constructively.
Right.
You know, they're not saying it to make me feel bad. They just mm-hmm. say, oh, Simi, how about, I don't like the way you sang this one. If I run a song by you, I don't really like this hook. That helps me. If you're telling me, yes, it's nice. I'm not learning. I'm not growing, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way that I look at relationship with my mom,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think because of maybe how they grew up, at first they might be a little defensive when you first tell them, mom, this was, but like, I think if you're consistent, well, based on my, because even my mother-in-law, I'm really close to my mother-in-law. There are things that I will have conversation with her sometimes that her son is not having with her. Because me, I'm strong. I'm big on like talking, like, and she knows, you understand? She understands my personality as well. And I'm basically like a daughter to her as well. And sometimes she would say something like, no, me, you not me, you agree. Bye. Sorry, I keep switching to you.
Please do the Yoruba for me.
I'm like, oh, I don't agree. Assuming this is how mm-hmm. they are doing this. And she'd be like, oh, that's actually true. Because I was willing to have that conversation mm-hmm. with her, as opposed to saying, can you imagine what my mother-in-law said? Or can you imagine what my mother said? And I'm having the conversation behind them and nobody's learning. I'm just going around saying, look at what this person said. So that's why if somebody says something problematic to me, I will tell them right there, that's the problematic thing to say.
You know me, I'm a confrontational. Like, and, it's a bad, and it has its perks, right? But I'm the kind of person that if you do something to me, I will brood over it. I will think, I will ruminate. But I feel like you, like, if I was your friend, I know where not to cross because Simi will give it to me as it hurts, right?
Yes.
So, I know my friends that if I say something to, I know that I'm not expecting feedback until maybe 3 business days after. But you look like you would cut it there and you would just...
Yes. And I think sometimes my friends don't come to me. Actually, maybe Yannis will be a testify. How do they say that? Will testify.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes my friends, until they really, really want... You know, usually when people ask for advice, they know what they want to do.
Yes.
But I think they don't really come to me until they really, really want that advice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell you exactly what I think you need to hear.
Are you not going to bother about their feelings?
No. That's not... I'm going to be kind about it. I'm just going to be honest. Like, for example, if you're working with someone that is abusive to you emotionally, you know, and you don't like... First, like you... If you come and ask me, there's a way I'll say, well, I think that you need to say this thing to this person because maybe they're acting like this because they don't know that they're acting like that, you mm-hmm. know, instead of sitting down. So unless somebody wants to hear exactly the truth. No, I'm not inconsiderate of their feelings. Definitely
right.
not. I'm just very honest. I'm very straight. This is how I think that you should do, even if it's hard for you to hear, you know, but that's me.
Okay.
So if you don't want that version of the truth, don't come to me.
Right. Okay, I'm going to wrap up soon, but I don't know how to craft this question. And it's because I've seen the kind of personality that you have. So it makes sense. So now your entire life and career makes sense to me, right? But we're also in a space where, like, let me use myself for an example. Like,
yeah.
Feedback, I take it well.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you constantly say something to me, I don't know if I'm a shapeshifter, but I would adjust just so that some people can be comfortable. You look like you have been confident since you were 2 years old and nothing is going to move you, right? What are the things that you do to keep that confidence? Because, you know, I don't know what's the word to use. It's like you are rigid, like you're secure in yourself.
Yeah.
And that type of security doesn't come from external. It's too internal,
yeah.
right? And for people like us in this space, we need to be that to be able to, even to be a creative in the first place, you need to have that level of security internally so that even when people don't get sure your work, you're still who you need to be, right? As an advice for myself and the people around us and our colleagues, what are the things that you can do to maintain that 100%? Because I actually really like it. Like, I envy it, actually.
Thank you. I mean, there are a couple of things I want to address from what you said. But to the first thing that you asked me, like you said, it's internal. this, I do words of affirmation with my daughter. And one of the things I say is, I am enough. Mm. I'm enough. And the days that when it's me that I need it, you know, and like maybe if I want to go on stage and that day I'm feeling a little nervous or intimidated, and I just go and I say, I'm enough. I'm enough. And it doesn't mean you can't like be better, but as you are in the moment, you are enough. Like you don't, it's not about, you don't have to add to who you are, like are to be good enough to be in spaces. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that your bad attitude is enough. But me, as I am like this, you know, my brown skin with my smile, the human being that I am, that I was made to be, I'm enough. And it does wonders for me as well. Excuse me. It does wonders for me as well when I'm saying that. So I know that like that's something that's, you know, you build constantly. It's not something that happens just, just accidentally.
You always say it's innate, but for some of us, not before look come. Some
you know, that's of us what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the reason I give that example is in that moment, I'm not feeling as confident.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I have days where it comes to me very naturally, like, but other days I need some help.
Right.
But that help still has to come from inside. So you have to help yourself work that. That's why I say I'm telling myself, oh, I'm enough. I can do another thing. I tell her, I say, I can do hard things. The fact that something is difficult does not mean that it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can try things. And again, if you notice certain patterns, like, I think you're very self-aware because like the things you've said about yourself, or you think that, oh, sometimes you wish just to make people come.
Mm-hmm.
When you notice that, even though sometimes it might not be, it might not come to you so naturally to not be that way. If you've noticed that maybe there's things you're doing constantly that is not serving you, maybe try. And don't try and take two big steps because that might be too much and too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Maybe one step at a time. Maybe maybe normally it's halfway to say no to people. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, maybe this week, every single time I want to say no, I'm going
to
say no.
No, it's so hard though.
I know. No, that's my point.
My sister, no, hard though.
I know. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's hard. But like, the best things are not easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even if, okay, for this, on Tuesdays, every single time I want to say no. No, I'm just step by step. Start small.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that nobody's going to beat you, maybe it'll come easier to you.
Okay.
You know what
Tuesdays.
I mean?
Tomorrow or Tuesday. No Tuesdays.
On a yes. If I want to say no, I'm not saying say no to everybody.
Yeah.
But if you feel like no is what you know you have to say, then say no. Every single time somebody upsets me, I'm not going to swallow it. I'm going to say something on Wednesdays. So take one step at a time. Mm-hmm. One step at a time. You know what I'm saying? So like it's like, you know how they say habits form. If you do something for 21 days, in a row, it becomes a habit. So you actually have to start from somewhere, you know. And I mean, again, like you said, it's not, doesn't come this, I mean, as easy for everyone, but like practice.
Amazing.
The more you do something, the more you know how to do that thing. So
thank you, Simi.
Yes.
Before I let you go, if your life was a book, what would you title this chapter?
This chapter? I don't know. I don't know what word, but you know how like when something is shedding its skin, you know? And it's not like the skin was bad to start with. It's just finding new parts of yourself.
Evolving.
And evolving. Yeah. Evolving is such a random word, so I'm not going to name my evolving.
It's been overused, but yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I get you. So, you know, on this podcast, they're tired of me because I always talk about Jesus. But some people that come here like Jesus. So let's talk about Jesus. Like, you're always been a Jesus girl, right?
Yes.
But, I mean, you don't sing about Jesus, yeah, but I mean, you obviously have
I mean,
a relationship with
him. I've done songs about Jesus.
A while ago.
I still have a few gospel songs. Last year on my album, I had a gospel song. Yeah.
What's your relationship like with
him? I mean, I said at the beginning of this interview that my relationship with God is very organic. I think that for me, religion is very personal.
Yeah.
Or your faith is very personal. Mm-hmm. I have like conversations with him, like one-on-one. When I'm mad, he knows. I don't have anything because like I feel like even if I'm not saying that, like I can read my mind. You know, if there are things that like sometimes I've seen things in the Bible where I'm like, I don't know, that rubs me wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
This is, what did you know what I mean? So for me, it's very personal. And I like to, and I think the reason why my faith is unwavering is because Jesus as the example, because Christianity is about Jesus, right?
Right.
Jesus as he is the example. His life, everything about him
mm-hmm.
is amazing.
Right.
You know, and that's what I follow. Like, there's a lot of things I'm like, nah, I don't know about this. But like, yeah. following him. Because, you know, there were even things in the law that he himself, he fought back against.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There were mm-hmm. things that he said religious people were not doing, but he came and did it. So that's why I know that, like, God is not stiff. God is not,
yeah.
like, it's not like a script.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they say we're made in God's image,
mm.
then that means our personality
mm.
is like him as well.
Yeah.
And so he feels things. He's,
yeah.
you know, and that's the kind of thing that I connect to. So
mm.
that's my relationship.
I think just even having a personal relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, and that's why I think that the Holy Spirit is there. It's just, you know, the Bible says a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit helps to convict us of the things that Jesus, you know, wants us to be. And every time I talk to God, I just feel like God probably has a sense of humor as well. I mean,
yes.
He has a personality.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, so everyone,
I sort think of, that too.
When I'm talking to God, I'm really laughing, like, you did that. It's like,
yes.
It's so crazy. And I hate the fact that Nigeria or Nigerians are so religious as opposed to having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because if you did, it would be a little...
It would be such... You know, sometimes I'm always like, I'm sure God looks at us that I don't know who sent people this
to be all this plenty yeah. sins. You'd just be laughing. Then you say, who sits in level laughs? You'd never be laughing like, shouldn't I say people for this one now? It's just crazy. Like, I wish that people had a very personal relationship with God as opposed to him being a grand commander and them just worshipping somebody who's so far.
And just shaking a wand up somewhere.
Yeah. I'm glad that you have a very good relationship with him.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I see where the confidence comes from. I'm sure when you probably talk to him, you're just like, Lord, I'm about to set her straight.
Yeah.
Do you know how this conversation would go where I'm like, God?
Yes. I'm like, if you don't want me to say this, just stop me now.
Yeah, and it does actually. Do you know sometimes I could just say something to catch my tongue. I'm like, you knew that if it was before, I would have. But now, okay, that's so you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I like that, yes.
Yeah. Cheers to Jesus.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.